The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 4, text number 2, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 9th, 2012, in Taman Medan, Malaysia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Evam parampara praptam. Imam Rajarshayo Vidu Sakalene Ha Mahata Yoga Nashta Parantapa Evam Parampara Praptam Imam Rajarshayo Vidu Sakalene ha mahata Yoga nashta parantapa Evam Thus Parampara By disciplic succession Praptam Received Imam, this science, Rajarshaya, the saintly kings, Vidu, understood, sa, that knowledge, Kalena, in the course of time, Iha, in this world, Mahata, great. Yoga, the science of one's relationship with the Supreme. Nashtaha, scattered. Parantapa, O Arjuna, subduer of the enemies. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. This Supreme Science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and these saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. Purport. It is clearly stated that the Gita was especially meant for the saintly kings, because they were to execute its purpose in ruling over the citizens. Certainly, Bhagavad Gita was never meant for the demonic persons who would dissipate its value for no one's benefit and would devise all types of interpretations according to personal whims. As soon as the original purpose was scattered by the motives of the unscrupulous commentators, there arose the need to reestablish the disciplic succession. 5,000 years ago, it was detected by the Lord Himself that the disciplic succession was broken, and therefore he declared that the purpose of the Gita appeared to be lost. In the same way, at the present moment also, there are so many editions of the Gita, especially in English, but almost all of them are not according to authorized disciplic succession. There are innumerable interpretations rendered by different mundane scholars, but almost all of them do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, although they make a good business on the words of Sri Krishna. This spirit is demonic, because demons do not believe in God but simply enjoy the property of the Supreme. Since there is a great need of an edition of the Gita in English, as it was received by the Paramparas, the disciplic succession system, an attempt is made herewith to fulfill this great want. Bhagavad Gita, accepted as it is a great boon to humanity, But if it is accepted as a treatise of philosophical speculations, it is simply a waste of time. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Svaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. So this principle of disciplic succession is very, very important thing. Because this is how we understand the knowledge of Krishna. In India, there is a system of harvesting mangoes. The mango is a very delicate fruit. If you drop it on the ground, you spoil it, you bruise it, you see. It has to be very carefully handled. So, during the harvest, they will station men up and down that mango tree. One man, he will climb very, very high on that tree, you see. And he'll grab one mango, he'll hand to the next man, who hands to the next man, who hands to the next man. In this way, the mangoes come very nice mangoes, you know, no bruising, you see. If you just took a stick and you knocked them and fell on the ground, they'd be useless, you see. So in this way, the knowledge has to be very carefully. The knowledge of Krishna, it is the ultimate mango fruit, you see. And that mango fruit of Krishna's knowledge, it has to be very carefully handed down through disciplic succession. If you just all of a sudden knock it without it carefully handing down, then it becomes spoiled, it becomes distorted. So, how do we, the recipients of the message of Prabhupada, do our duty to keep the succession intact, you see? That is a very important principle. We have received it from Prabhupada, you see, and from the disciples of Prabhupada. We have received it. Now it's our duty to keep it pure. It's a very important thing. Whatever Prabhupada has stated, we must repeat. You see, that's all. Whatever instruction Prabhupada has given us, that we must follow. If we do something different, then we are become cut off from the disciplic succession. Bruised mangoes, you see. So it's very, very important that we do not act independently, but we keep that connection with Srila Prabhupada by following his instructions. Prabhupada has laid the foundation for a whole Vedic culture that will be taking over the whole world gradually. The whole world will become immersed in this Vedic culture. So that Vedic culture means there is some head, there is some guidance. It is not a headless society. There are the Brahmins who strictly follow the disciplic succession principle, the Kshatriyas who follow the instructions of the Brahmanas. In this way, Prabhupada has introduced the Vedic culture, you see. And the educational luminical institution is ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This ISKCON is the educational institution for bringing in a whole new world order of Vedic culture to this planet. So however, Prabhupada has given ISKCON to us, We must be very, very careful to keep ISKCON just as Prabhupada has given it. Otherwise, instead of ISKCON, what will it be? MISKCON. We'll miss the boat, you see. We'll miss ISKCON. We don't want a MISKCON, we want ISKCON, you see. So, Prabhupada has given us a very nice system for our ISKCON, you see. We have the GBC, we have the local representatives. In this way, we follow our local leadership and our regional leadership and our global leadership. This will give great pleasure to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada personally told me to do whatever the leader says without question. Direct order from Prabhupada, you see. Do whatever the leader says without questioning. In this way, if we follow our authorities, you see, what they are telling us, then that will please Krishna. You say, well, I just want to please Krishna. Why should I please my authority? I just want to accept Krishna as my authority, you see. Let's say you go to work for, Sony Corporation. You say, okay, I got my new job here at Sony Corporation, and I want to please the CEO of Sony Corporation. I want to please him by everything that I do, you see. They say, well, you're supposed to please your supervisor. No, no, no. I just want to directly please the CEO of Sony Corporation. Will they like to hire you? You see? You don't want to see, at a corporation, there's a parampara system. There's the CEO, he has the vice presidents, they have the different departments. It comes down this manager, this supervisor. You see? You see, I don't want to follow that system. I just want to directly please the CEO. They won't hire you. And if they do, they'll say, oh, no, you have to go. You don't fit into our system, you see. You're a direct manager, you have to please him. Then he gives a nice report to his supervisor, and this way you become pleasing to the CEO, you see. So this is the system that Prabhupada set up for ISKCON also, you see. That we have our immediate supervisor, we have to please him, then we please Prabhupada. Even one time they said, Srila Prabhupada, when you are not here, how will you know you are pleased? He said, the GBC and the temple presidents are there. That was Prabhupada's direct answer. By pleasing temple president, by pleasing GBC, then you know you're pleasing me. So in this movement, we're all meant to please Prabhupada, isn't it? We all want to please Prabhupada. Because when we please Prabhupada, then Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura is pleased. And we please Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura, who is pleased? Gaurakishore Das Babaji. And when Gaurakishore Das Babaji is pleased, who becomes pleased? Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pleased, who becomes pleased? Jagannath Das Babaji. And this way, all the way back, Naratam, Vishwanath Chartipati, I don't forget the order, but Vishwanath is there, Naratam, all the way back to the Goswamis, to Lord Chaitanya, and all the way back to Krishna eventually, you see. So we have to learn what is pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, you see. He told us by working together cooperatively, you see, that will please me. He didn't like it some devotees would want to act independently. He did not like it. He wanted us to work together. Because this is, and it's also stated, it's a practical thing as well. You can take one stick and easily break it. Isn't it? Take a big thick bundle of sticks, try to break it. You can try all day, that bundle will not break. So we gain strength by remaining together, you see, as a spiritual family. That's how we have strength. Now, it's not easy sometimes. I mean, I agree with you or I disagree with you sometimes. Sometimes we have disagreements. Let's face the reality. Even in husband and wife, do they always agree with each other? No way, you see. But we agree to remain together even when we disagree, you understand? So that same principle that hold a husband and wife together, even when they disagree, you understand? That same principle in ISKCON. You see, that even if we disagree, to please Prabhupada, we will remain together instead of splitting apart. That is for Prabhupada's pleasure, you see. I may not like it. For me, I may not like it. But to please Prabhupada, I will do, you see. That's the principle. By always trying to please Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada's pleasure comes first, you see. We have to see that Prabhupada is always pleased. And then we become pleased automatically. Even one time in the days of the Gaudiya Math, it was very, very hot, and everybody was very, very hot. So one devotee got up, he started fanning Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He said, "Why all of a sudden you're fanning me?" He said, "Well, Guru Maharaj, if you're pleased, then we'll all be pleased." So if we can understand how important it is to please Srila Prabhupada and please the representatives of Srila Prabhupada, you see. That's a very important principle. Actually, one disciple said, "Prabhupada, I just want to please you. I don't like the devotees. I just want to please you." But actually, Prabhupada was not very pleased with them. Prabhupada was not very pleased. Prabhupada was so displeased with this devotee, Prabhupada said, "Just earn money and enjoy." He told him to leave the society. Just go out and earn money and enjoy. So it's very important that we have to understand the importance of working together to please Prabhupada, working together as a team of devotees. You see, just like here we have our very nice Malaysian ISKCON Yatra, you see. So many centers, so many different projects. We have to always remain one unified ISKCON throughout all of Malaysia. It's a very important thing. It's a very, very important thing. Because it is our duty actually to make the whole world Krishna conscious. It's our duty to lead the world out of chaos, to bring peace and unity throughout the whole world. If we don't have unity amongst ourselves, then how we can make unity in the world? You see? Our mission is to bring unity throughout the whole world. This is the real United Nation, you see. If we were to bring all the nations together under one flag of Hanuman, you see. Under Hanuman's flag. If we're going to bring everyone together as one unified Vedic culture under Prabhupada's teachings, under the GVC's direction, the whole world society, you see, then we have to be unified amongst ourselves. If we split ourselves up into different factions, then what example we're showing to the world? You Hare Krishnas can't even get along, and you want to tell the whole world how to become happy and peaceful? You can't even get along amongst yourself. You see? So it's very, very important that we learn how to cooperate very nicely amongst ourselves. It's a very, very important thing. We don't want ISKCON to be like the Gaudiya Math that's split up, you see. There's no one Gaudiya Math. Every guru had his own little separate movement. There's no one Gaudiya Math. Every guru started his own institution. That's what it was, you see. But it's so nice because we have GBC, therefore we have so many gurus. We have Jayapataka Swami, we have so many swamis. I'm also initiating. You see, I have a family of disciples. But because we have the GBC who represents Prabhupada, we all remain together as one family. But if we think, "No, I'll be separate. I don't want to follow the authority. I'll do something separate." Then the movement becomes broken. It becomes weakened. And we can't execute our mission. Prabhupada gave us an order in Los Angeles. He said, "Become guru and deliver the whole world." Now, how are we going to deliver the world if we can't even remain together as a family? You understand? It's very important we remain together as a spiritual family, because that's how we'll have strength to lead the whole world out of chaos. If you've read the news lately, you can see the world is in a very perilous condition. Climatic change, so many problems, terrorism, climate, economy, food shortage, water shortage. I mean, it's really getting bad, really, really getting bad very quickly. They're predicting that now because the climate change is reaching a tipping point where it's going to go completely into chaos, and the whole world is going to become completely overwhelmed with one disaster after another. That's what they're predicting now. Today it was published. We've reached the tipping point and the environment is going to just go completely into a chaotic condition. It's been somewhat balanced till now, you see. Even though the human beings have created great imbalance, nature has been able to maintain somewhat of a balance. But it's predicted that we're going to reach a tipping point. The whole thing is going to be thrown off. And very bad disasters will happen everywhere. So even it's predicted now that there's a possibility the Japanese may have to evacuate Tokyo if they can't get this nuclear reactor under control. They haven't got that nuclear reactor under control. They may have to have 40 million people evacuating from Japan at any time. That's how bad it's getting. 40 million people. The whole Tokyo being evacuated. That's how perilous the condition is becoming, and how much it is necessary that ISKCON can actually become very, very strong and unified so that we can provide the leadership for the world society. You see, this is not just a little religious organization for our benefit. It is for our benefit, but at the same time, we have a mission. We have a preaching mission to lead the entire world out of chaos. Therefore, we have to tolerate our differences and agree to work together. It's extremely important that we do that. It's extremely important. Otherwise, we can't execute our mission. We have to lead the whole world out of chaos. That's our duty. And if we can't conquer the own chaos in our own ranks and work together in spite of disagreements, how we can do our duty to Prabhupada, you see? Prabhupada wants us to save the whole world. That's his order he gave us, deliver the whole world. So therefore, we have to tolerate our whatever differences we have. We have to work together as a family, try to love one another and appreciate one another. Even if we disagree, we have to remain together and work together. Because this is how we can do our duty to Srila Prabhupada and make the whole world happy. Now, everybody has paper and pen for asking questions? Write some questions down. Now, in a few minutes, I'll be asking for your questions. Now, remember, according to Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavad Gita, it's your duty to ask questions. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevya upadekshanti te jnanam ganinastatvadarshina. Krishna says, approach the spiritual master and ask questions. So now spiritual master is present here in your center. Now it's your duty to ask questions. Don't remain dull-headed. Duh. I don't know what's going on here. You see. You see, there's three kinds of people in this world. There's people who make things happen, you see. They're the leaders. They make things happen. There's people who watch things happen. They don't have the drive to be a leader, but at least they are aware of what's going on. They watch things happen. And there's a third class, they say, what happened? They're so spaced out, they don't even know what's going on. They finally say, what happened? You see, they're in the mode of ignorance. So, be a person who makes things happen. That's the duty of every ISKCON devotee, you see. You should become qualified to be a leader, a person who can make things happen on this planet, who can attract people to Krishna, who can do something to actually change the world situation by telling everybody about Krishna wherever you go, as much as you possibly can, you see. So, any questions ready to pass up? Okay, very good. Because nice questions here. Maharaj, in this current world, we have many societies other than ISKCON, such as the Sai Baba Society, Divine Life, and many more. As me as a devotee knows that our movement is a movement which is represents true facts of how a human being should live. But how can a normal material person choose or join a spiritual society? To know God, since we have many spiritual societies, and how can a normal person feel our ISKCON is the best society in the whole world? I'm sorry if my question is wrong. Your question is very nice. Here's the question. Maharaj, in this current world, we have many societies other than ISKCON, such as the Sai Baba Society. I gave a lecture at the Sai Baba the other night. Divine Life and many more. We as a devotee have know that our movement is a movement which represents true facts of how a human being should live, but how can a normal material person choose or join a society, spiritual society, to know God, since we have so many spiritual societies? In other words, why ISKCON? Why not Sai Baba? That's the whole point of this verse. The knowledge of Krishna comes down through disciplic succession. That's the proper knowledge of Krishna. Krishna says this is how it is understood through disciplic succession. He directly states it in this verse. The saintly kings understood it in that way. You see? So that means the way to understand what is true is through disciplic succession. You must have to have a disciplic succession means a bona fide chain of spiritual masters beginning with Krishna. So in the Sahaja Sai Baba mission, for example, do they have a bona fide chain beginning with Krishna? They say, yes, we do, because Sai Baba is Krishna. They say them. The leader of their organization directly states, yes, he is Krishna himself. But we have to judge, is that true or not, not on opinion or whim, but on scripture. If he is Krishna, then we should close up ISKCON and all join the Sai Baba mission. You see? Really, we should. Because Krishna is directly here. Why even have ISKCON? We just go to Sai Baba. But is he Krishna? That's the question. For that, we have to go to the scriptures. The scriptures say when the incarnations come. Now, in the U.S., they have a very together air force. Very, very together security system for the country. If an airplane enters the U.S. space and is not cleared to enter, it's considered an enemy aircraft and they shoot it down. You have to be cleared to enter U.S. airspace. Otherwise, they have the technology to shoot you right down with a missile. You see, can just shoot you right down. Now, in the same way, you have to be an incarnation. You have to be in the scriptures. Otherwise, you're an hostile aircraft entering into the space, airspace. In other words, in ISKCON, we have a, just like the U.S. has a defense system, we also have a defense system. If the incarnation is not listed in the scriptures, we know he's bogus and we have to shoot him down by philosophical argument. So since Sai Baba is not mentioned as one of the incarnations, the last one was Lord Chaitanya, the next one is Kalki Avatar. In another 427,000 years from now. Actually, somebody is claiming that they are Kalki Avatar. They're also claiming that Hazrat Muhammad was Kalki Avatar. You see, that the Muslims are the true manifestation of Vedic culture because Kalki Avatar is the latest avatar. And he just came as Hazrat Muhammad. Of course, Lord Chaitanya came after he did. But actually, Muhammad is not Kalki Avatar. Kalki Avatar is not coming for another 427,000 years. So therefore, anyone who is not accepting the bona fide system of disciplic succession, their movement is bogus. Maybe they can, you know, make their people a little more pious, give up some, but piety will not get you back to Godhead. That is clearly stated by Rupa Goswami. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati Kriyatam Yadi Katopalabhyate Tattada Yang Api Mugyamekalam Janmakoti Sukritarina Labhyate. You know that verse? Bhakti Rasam, the Prajavali, text 14. You learning your verses? So anyway, this verse states that pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be achieved even by executing pious activities in hundreds of millions of lives. It can be achieved by only paying one price, and that is greed, lalyam. And then Rupa Goswami says, if it's available somewhere, you must purchase it without delay. So actually, this movement of Lord Chaitanya, you see, this is the place where you can get bhakti. So Prabhupada's ISKCON is the pure, full-blown manifestation of Lord Chaitanya's movement. So don't even go to outside of ISKCON, to other Gaudiya institutions. Prabhupada is the only follower of Bhakti Siddhanta who fully inherited the mission of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura. The others are, you know, they have some of it, but they don't have the full potency. The only full potency of Lord Gauranga's movement is here in ISKCON. So don't even go to the other Gaudiya organizations. They're not going to give you the same thing you're getting here from Prabhupada. Prabhupada is the most empowered acharya in the history of the universe.
for delivering everyone back to home, back to Godhead.
So stick with Prabhupada. Don't go anywhere else outside of Prabhupada's movement. Is Shankaracharya's followers, are they bona fide? Do they come under any of the four sampradayas? They are not Vaishnavas. The Shankarites are not Vaishnavas. They are impersonalists. Their conception of the Absolute Truth is faulty. It's incorrect. They say that the Absolute Truth is impersonal. He has no form. So they are wrong. Lord Chaitanya therefore warned us. He says, Mayavadi Basha Shuni Loi Hoi Sarvanash. If you will hear about Mayavadi philosophy, you'll be defeated, you'll be destroyed. It will kill you. Everything will be finished. Everything is destroyed. Hoi Sarvanash. Everything will be finished in your spiritual life if you hear Mayavadi philosophy from the impersonalists. I previously studied them. I know their philosophy very well. I was an impersonalist before I came to this movement. They teach you that you are God. I read one book called The Book. And this book said, actually, you are God. But right now you're playing hide and go seek with yourself. So now just come out of hiding and be God again. So I tried it for a couple of days. It seemed pretty good. Until it became obvious that it was a sham, because things really didn't go the way I wanted. For a couple of days I was floating high. I'm God, I'm God, I'm God. I felt pretty good for a couple of days until it became obvious, you know, when things didn't go my way. And I realized it's nonsense, complete nonsense. So the Shankarites have this false philosophy that the living entity is God himself. It's completely bogus. It was a technique to bring the atheist back to believe in God. If you tell me you're an atheist and say, I don't believe in God, you see, I say, well, but if I tell you that you are God, will you believe in God? Well, I think maybe I could believe in God if I found out that I was God, you see. It's simply a trick to bring the atheist back to theism, but in a distorted way. But Lord Chaitanya came, he defeated the impersonal conception. He attracted that sannyasi in Benares, Prakashananda Sarasvati, and his 30,000 disciples, they all joined Lord Chaitanya's movement. Can you imagine if we could make 30,000 disciples in one lecture, just by convincing the guru to give up impersonalism? Lord Chaitanya made 30,000 disciples in one talk. He simply spoke with the guru, and the guru and 30,000 disciples, they all joined Lord Chaitanya's movement. Now that's called potent preaching. You give one 20-minute talk, you make 30,000 disciples. That's big-time preaching. Okay. Impa temple management do not follow the rules, being unfair. Do we need to stay at that temple? You need to talk to the higher management. If you need to talk to the regional secretary, Samheshwara Prabhu. The temple management is like there was a temple management in New York at one time, Radha Govinda Temple, one of our major temples in the U.S. The temple president's wife was eating chicken in the temple. She was eating chicken, if you can imagine. And it was pretty bad, so that someone had to complain, and then Prabhupada sent the GBC to investigate, and they straightened the whole thing out. So that you find the temple president's wife is eating chicken in the temple, then you need to come talk to your regional secretary. And see, if the principles are being violated, you don't say, oh, well, you just do what our authorities say. No, if someone's breaking the principles, you have to talk to the higher authorities, you see, to straighten it out. It was quite an amazing thing. I mean, this lady was a con artist. She came to the temple in New York, and she said, I am the a Japanese woman. She said, I am the heiress to the Toyota fortune. And the devotees were so naive, they believed her. And the temple president believed her. He was a sannyasi. He believed her. And they thought, well, if she marries, if I can marry her, then this guy will inherit the Toyota fortune. So the sannyasi, he gave up sannyasi, he married this woman. And she turned out to be a con artist. She was just a crook. He gave up sannyasi.
So she was doing things like eating chicken. They were offering egg rolls to the deities, you know, Chinese egg rolls with eggs in them to Radha Govinda. It was really bad. And she was treated like a princess. She would come to the Bhagavatam class, and now even a guru is giving the class in the Vyasas, and nobody's fanning me with a chamara, you see. But she would sit in the class, and they would fan her with a chamara, hearing the lecture. When she would sit and hear the Bhagavatam, she had a female attendant who would fan her with a chamara while she was hearing the Bhagavatam class, you see. So finally someone complained about it and it was corrected. But somehow the devotees just said, oh, she's the temple president's wife, what can we say? No one wanted to say anything. But if something becomes obviously wrong, you should report it. If we have our regional secretary here, Someshwar Prabhu, if something is wrong, you should report it. How to deal with fault finders in ISKCON? Actually, we want everybody to be a big-time fault finder. That's my request. I want you all to become fault finders, please. And here's the faults I want you to find. Look in your own damn dirty heart. I want each of you to become a fault finder. Look in your own heart and find all the faults. That's my assignment to you. You become a big fault finder. Each one of you become fault finders. Look in your heart and see all the faults that are in there, you see. You are honeycombed with faults. Go in your heart. You become a first-class, big-time fault finder of your own faults, you see. We want everybody in ISKCON to be a fault finder of their own faults, you see. Now, if you have mastered your own faults, you see, that's called anartha nivritti. Then you're qualified to point out the faults in others. But otherwise, what is your qualification? Physician, heal thyself.
If a senior devotee does not appreciate our service, can we associate with him? Well, maybe you're doing something wrong, you know? Maybe you did something wrong and he's correcting you. You're supposed to bring the guru's laundry in time for him to put it on the next morning, and you brought it at 8 o'clock in the morning after it was too late for him to put it on. And the senior devotee didn't appreciate that you made the guru go without any clean clothes when he got up in the morning. You say, shall I associate with that senior devotee? He didn't appreciate my service. If a senior devotee doesn't appreciate your service, that could be Krishna's mercy to correct you for your nonsense. You understand? So you can't judge somebody whether you associate with a senior devotee whether they appreciate your service or not. They may be pointing out your faults in your service. You should appreciate if they don't appreciate your mistakes. You're supposed to be a fault finder of your own mistakes, but you're too blind to see your own mistakes. The senior devotee points out your mistake. He doesn't appreciate your mistakes. He points it out to you. You should appreciate this senior devotee for pointing out your mistakes. That's the proper understanding. In fact, one devotee in our Jude temple, he was giving a Bhagavatam class. He said, if there's somebody who doesn't appreciate your service, ask him to move in with you. If someone is finding fault with your service, ask him to move in with you and be your roommate. Because that's what you need. You need somebody who can point out your faults. You see, we need that because we're too puffed up to be our fault finders of our own faults. Therefore, we need a senior devotee to point out our faults. Okay, next question. We're almost out of questions. That means it's almost time for me to go home. Not back to Godhead, but take rest for the evening. Okay. May we know how to worship Tulsi Devi? No one trained you how to worship Tulsi Devi? Prabhupada gave the instruction years ago when I joined the movement. There was no Tulsi worship. And then Prabhupada introduced it. It's very simple. You bring Tulsi in, you chant the prayers, Vrindayai Tulsi Devyai Priyayai Kesava. So Prabhupada said Vishnu Bhakti. Now many people say Krishna, but when Prabhupada gave us the prayers, he said Vishnu Bhakti Pradi Devi. That's how he taught us. You can check it out. It's in the Veda base. The original letters he gave
He told us to say Vishnu, Vishnu Bhakti, Pradidevi, such you say the three times, and then you offer the arati. You know, Namo Namaha Tulasi Krishna. We all know. Don't you do Tulsi worship here? Oh, you have it here. What? I don't know why you have to ask a question. You don't know how to do it?
Because the devotees add a lot of things like Sri Sri Vrindaya, Tulsi Devya, so they add little things to the prayers. That may be the question.
Now, just take the basic things that Prabhupada gave. You go Vrindaya, Tulsi Deva, you do the Tulsi Arti song, then you do Yani Kani. And then you can do a little Hare Krishna at the end. That's sufficient. You don't need to add. Huh? No, you don't need to add. Thing is, we don't need to keep adding new things, you see. Our modern culture is wanting to add always something new, you know, the new iPhone, you know, the four iPhone 4, the iPhone 4S, the iPhone 5. We always want something new and different. You don't need to keep adding things on. This is a tendency in ISKCON. Well, we have to add this, we have to add that. We have to add this to keep it exciting. That's not true. You don't need to keep adding things to make it exciting. Krishna is Navayovanam. He's an ever-fresh youth. His name is everything. You don't need to add new mantras to your kirtans. This is the nice thing I liked about Aindra Prabhu. That, you know, it's 24 hours a day of just Hare Krishna. You don't need to do 20 or 30 different songs every day to keep from getting bored. Everything is there in Krishna's name. That's a nice thing he did. I appreciate him for that. That we don't need to keep adding new things, new things, new things, new things. Just take the basic things that Prabhupada has given and master them. That's all you have to do.
Talking about Aindra, he was also adding something about Radharani.
At the end, he got a little off the track, that's true. He started adding Sahaja philosophy. So, it's a fact, he got a little bit off the track there at the end. You know, you should aspire for a certain rasa now. It's premature. Don't think, well, now I think, actually, I was shocked. One of my godbrothers are giving a class, a Sunday feast lecture, and he told everyone, now you pick your rasa. Whatever you want to be, you pick it out. You want to be a gopi, a gopa, a peacock, a flute, a blade of grass, a flower. Go ahead and pick your rasa. He told the guests to pick their rasa. Even the guests, I was shocked. I had to report him to the GBC. They got on his case about it. I mean, I was shocked. He got inspired by Aindra, this idea that you pick your rasa. Actually, this only comes in a very high stage. You see, there's different stages of bhakti given by Rupa Goswami. The first thing is Shraddha, you have faith. The second thing is that you associate with pure devotees, those who are strictly following Prabhupada, you associate with them. The next step is you take initiation from the bona fide spiritual master. And then, under Guru's order, now you gradually become free of all the dirt in your heart, anartanavritti. And when all that dirt is gone, then you achieve a stage, at least when the passion, the ignorance is gone, then you achieve a stage called nishta, or firm faith. But you're still not qualified to meditate on your rasa yet. Even at the nishta stage, when there's no more passion, no more ignorance in your heart, you're solidly situated in the mode of goodness, 24 hours a day in all times, places, and circumstances. Who can even say they're on that level? They're not being overwhelmed by pama and raja anymore. Even on that stage, you can't pick your rasa yet. Actually, you don't pick your rasa. And when you get to you go to the ruchi stage, where you have absolute, unlimited taste for the name of Krishna. Even if the kirtan leader is singing out of tune, the drummer is offbeat, it doesn't matter. Just the name of Krishna is completely addictive and intoxicating. You could chant Hare Krishna for 10 million years and never get bored. Straight kirtan for 10 million years, and your mind would never be fatigued. That's the ruchi stage. And then after that, you come to the stage called asakti, or attachment, when you're absolutely, totally unbreakably attached to Krishna. That's when you actually realize what is your eternal relationship in the spiritual sky, your rasa with Krishna. But that's a very, very high stage. So, yeah. Anjali was giving some philosophy that was off the track. So, therefore, I don't advise my disciples to listen to his lectures. Don't listen to his lectures, because he was going off the track. Okay. A lot of gurus in ISKCON, so how do I choose my guru? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Actually, Krishna will send you your guru. When you're ready, when you're actually ready to surrender, Krishna will send your guru. And you know, here he is, this is it. You'll know. When you're ready, when you're actually fully surrendered, ready, then Krishna will send the guru to you. You will know, here he is, now I have found my guru. So just become sincere, surrendered devotee. I want to fully surrender to Krishna. I want to follow Prabhupada's teachings perfectly. And then Krishna will show you this is your spiritual. You don't have to choose your spiritual master. Just choose pure devotional service, and then your guru will be revealed to you immediately by Krishna. You'll hear a tape. You'll hear a lecture. You'll meet him personally. You'll read something he wrote. You may not meet him personally. Maybe you read something that he wrote, or you heard a recording of his lecture. But when you're ready, fully ready, that now I will give my life completely to Krishna, and give up my nonsense, and become completely surrendered, then Krishna, within your heart, the Chaitanya Guru will say, here he is, this is your spiritual master. Now you surrender to him. He is my representative. See, any other questions? That's it, I've run out of questions. Yes?
Then you know, so I hear Prabhupada saying in one lecture, guru is where you can fully surrender. And so if he says, here is a rope, pick it up, if he is a snake, throw it down.
Guru means you have complete faith in this person. I can fully surrender myself to him without any argument. Not that I take guru as a fashion. Well, everybody else has a guru, you know. So I think I have to have one too, you know. I've got to keep up with the society of devotees. Like everybody on our street has a dog, so mommy and daddy, can I have a dog too? All my friends have dogs. Why I can't have a dog? You see, it's like, don't take a guru like a pet dog, you know. Everybody else has a guru, you know. I mean, you don't want a guru like, come here, guru, nice guru. Not like that, you see. Guru means where you fully can surrender with no argument. Guru, has he given me this order? Gurudev gave me the order. Now, whatever he says is law. My guru's word is law. That's it. Whatever he tells me, that's it. He's my guru. I have to follow what he says because he's Krishna's representative. I can't argue with him. I have no escape. I have to surrender. Whatever he tells me to do, I'm his property. I belong to my guru, and I have to do whatever he says for all of eternity. That is guru. When you find a person that you can trust that much, that whatever this person says, I'll do whatever he says for the rest of my life, now you've found your spiritual master. Another point?
If we have to take the vow in front of the yajna to follow that instructions, and we give it up.
What happens if you give up your guru after taking the vow?
Yes. We don't follow his instructions that much.
It's called guru aparadhi, an offender against the spiritual master. Such a person cannot go back to Godhead. He remains in this material world until he can rectify his mentality. One who offends his spiritual master cannot go back to Godhead. Krishna says in the Adi Purana, "Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhaktashtate janaha." He says, "My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, he's not my devotee." And then he says, "Ye me bhakta na me bhakta." Yad bhaktanam chaye bhaktas te me bhakta tamamata. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So you want to be accepted as a devotee by Krishna? You have to be the devotee of Krishna's devotee. Otherwise, Krishna will never accept. You're not my devotee. Get out. You're not my devotee. He'll never accept you. You have to become the devotee of Krishna's devotee, and then he will accept you. You're a devotee. So one who offends his guru, he must rectify that. He must. Otherwise, he's lost. Whereabouts unknown. Okay?
In other words, they are accepted as thinking that Guru is an ordinary person.
Guru what?
Guru is an ordinary person.
Yes. Some people even say that Prabhupada's an ordinary person, if you can imagine. I got an email today from somebody who said that Prabhupada is an ordinary man. These people will never escape the cycle of birth and death. Unless you can appreciate the pure devotee, unless you can appreciate the spiritual master, there is no one more dear. Natasman manusheshu kashtan me priya krittamaha bhavita namachameta shad anya priya tarobhuvi. Krishna says, there's no one more dear to me than he who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita. Nor will there ever be anyone more dear. If you deride or find fault with the spiritual master, what will Krishna think of you? That person who is the dearmost person to Krishna, if you don't appreciate that person, you're finished. Your spiritual life is finished. It's finished. Your spiritual life is ruined. You have to appreciate the devotee. You have to appreciate the preacher. You have to appreciate the spiritual master. Anything else?
Well, but those who leave the movement and go away, are they appreciating the movement?
Someone who leaves the movement and goes away, they're disobeying Prabhupada. They can't go back to Godhead. They won't go back to Godhead. To take birth again. Disobeying Prabhupada?
Although they may be following.
Huh?
Although they may be following him.
Huh?
They may be following.
No, they're not following. If you leave ISKCON, you're not following Prabhupada, you're disobeying Prabhupada. Well, I'll follow Prabhupada outside of ISKCON. Well, you can't do that. Prabhupada said, stay in ISKCON. You can't say, well, I'm following him outside of ISKCON. You're not following him, you're disobeying him. Somehow stay with the ISKCON Society. Work out a way you can stay with the ISKCON Society. Everyone should find a way to stay with the ISKCON Society. Okay, anything else? There's a question back there.
She's asking, she never get a chance to serve her guru personally. And she's asking, if she's is that a sinful person? If she's a sinful person?
There are two forms of the spiritual master. There's his personal presence, which is called Bapu. And there's the orders of the spiritual master. Every disciple has the full facility to personally serve their spiritual master. Because his order is there to preach Krishna consciousness, to distribute books, to make devotees. If you serve the orders of your spiritual master, that is the best personal service. The one who preaches, he is the personal servant of the spiritual master, Prabhupada said. The one who preaches, he is my personal servant. So if you will preach Krishna consciousness, then you are the personal servant of your guru. You're personally serving him 24 hours a day by preaching. Okay? Hare Krishna. Anything else? Everybody satisfied now? Okay. Thank you very much. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.